Hey guys, wanted to come at you real quick before we start worship this morning. I wanted to let you know that we have been receiving some questions about what's going to happen moving forward. So as of right now, we are going to meet in person on June 7th. We aren't quite sure what that's going to look like yet. It will look different than what we had before this COVID-19 came about. So just be checking your emails, or we'll be sending out phone tree. But we will be in contact with you. If you have any questions, let us know. But like I said, we are talking about it. It's something that we are definitely planning for. But as of right now, that date is June 7th. But until then, we're still gonna have these videos available for you every week, every Sunday. And if you would like an alert, a notification, that we have a new video on, just down below there's a subscribe button. Go ahead and hit subscribe on YouTube and you'll be able to see whenever we post a Kids Corner, just a midweek thought, and then our sermons. So go ahead, hit that subscribe button and we'll see you on June 7th.
Good morning, welcome to the Kanawha City Church of Christ. We are so excited that you are joining us for this morning of worship together. Here in a few moments, we're going to continue a series that we've been on together that we are calling Rhythms, keeping our focus in a world of distractions. Last week, we looked at this concept of being still before God and knowing who God is and just recognizing Him in the quiet and still moments of our life and creating rhythms in our life where we can encounter God in that stillness. This morning, we're going to continue to build off of that idea of creating rhythms in our life. And this week, we're looking at creating a rhythm of meeting with God, experiencing God, growing closer to God, and responding to God through His Word. If you're like me, you'll remember when you were a child in Vacation Bible School, singing that old Vacation Bible School song, the B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Well, this morning we're going to look more at that Bible and just what exactly that means for us, the encouragement that it gives us, and the way that our time in the Word can transform us to look more like the God we read about in that Word. So stick with us and we'll spend some time worshiping together, and then we'll find out just exactly why the Bible is the book for us.
This is a season for new anointing. This is a season for fresh outpouring. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine. That the sons and daughters of the King of Glory may arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. In the beginning God created, and for His pleasure all creation sings. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine. Every son and daughter of the King of Glory now arise and shine as we declare. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let your glory fill the earth. Let your glory fill the earth. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. King of glory, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me ever to adore thee. May I still thy goodness prove, while the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. Oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Never let me wander from thee. Never seal it for thy courts above.
Well, good morning, and welcome to the communion service on a Sunday morning. We're all at our respective homes, I assume, but we're never so far apart and still so close because of the common beliefs that we have. We want to share those this morning, focusing on Jesus. So if you choose to participate with us, please pause the video and prepare your emblems of life, the bread and the fruit of the vine. When you're ready, then restart the video. You know, if I were called on this morning to name my favorite meal, that would be difficult and I would be hard-pressed to do that. Some days I long for the time when I ate at my parents' table and enjoyed a dinner of butter beans, cornbread, and warm apple pie. Simple fare, to be sure, but few meals ever tasted better. On the other side of the menu spectrum, I've occasionally dined at upscale restaurants on scrumptious treats that my parents never tasted. Those too were marvelous meals. But to say the least, when we meet with the Lord at His table, it's unlike any other dining experience in life. Share with me these comparisons. The Lord's Supper is simple, and yet it's deeply profound. It's personal, as if I am the only one participating, and yet it's universal, precious to every Christian around the globe. It looks back across the ravages of time, and yet it looks forward to when time will be no more. It's a picture of tragic death, and yet it's a proclamation of triumphant life. It's not expensive to provide, and yet it's so very costly to purchase. The food is that of a poor man. Just imagine that for a moment. Just a bite of bread and a sip of juice. And yet never has so extravagant a meal ever been served. We who are many become as one body, and when we take it together, and yet when we take it together, I must focus only on His body broken for me. When our sin is forgiven, the Lord assures us He always forgets it. But we must always remember how such forgiveness is made possible. No wonder Jesus said to us in His divine word, "Do this in remembrance of me," Luke 22:19. We who were lost take the Lord's Supper to remember the one who found us. We who are in the land of the dying take the Lord's Supper to remember the one who can usher us into the land of the living. Let's give thanks now for the bread. Our Father, as we gather together from distant locations of one mind of loving and honoring You, we pray that You would bless us in Your service and bless this bread that's intended to encourage us to think of You in the daily things that we do and all things that we encounter. We pray blessings on each person that has committed their life to reflecting the life of Jesus Christ. Grant unto us Your blessings, Lord, that we might serve You faithfully. Through Christ we pray. Amen.
As the deer pants for the water, so my soul longs after You. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship You.
Second thought, I do have a favorite meal, and the answer is we're invited to it weekly by the one who loves us more than life. He gave His life for us. Let's give thanks now for the fruit of the vine. Father, as we reflect upon the life of Jesus and the fruit of the vine, which is an emblem of His blood, we know there's power in the blood to forgive sins and to strengthen us, Lord, as we reflect on the fact that Jesus died for our sins, but that He as well arose and overcome death to live eternally so that we might be with Him in that eternity. Through His name we pray unto You.
You're my friend and You are my brother. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you.
May I offer you a word of encouragement to remember your generous gifts to the Lord's work, and may the blessings of the day and the Christian life be upon you today as always.
Good morning, church. I think it's about time that we learn a new psalm together. And even though we're not together, we're still gonna teach this psalm. So normally whenever I'm teaching a song, I'll go through the verse, the chorus, and if there's a bridge, the bridge, just the melody with the whole congregation, and then pretty much just throw you to the fire and have you learn your parts on your own. So this is the song that we're choosing. It's called Who You Say I Am. And this is the first verse. And it goes like this. Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. So that's the verse. The second verse will be the same. So here's the chorus. This is where really you just let it go. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free. Several times, and it's this idea of I'm chosen and not forsaken. And so it's I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. We hope you enjoy this new song that we're about to learn, the Who You Say I Am. Join along as we sing with parts.
Who am I that the highest king would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free. Oh, is free. Forsaken, I am who you say I am. You are for me, not against me. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Who the Son sets free. Oh, is free.
So Stephen, last week we continued this series of rhythms, that keeping focus in a world full of distractions. Mm-hmm. And this idea of how do I go from looking like Jacob to looking like Jesus.
Right.
And so last week we talked about this idea of stillness, just being able to be still with God, not doing anything, not reading the Bible, not praying, just being still and letting us focus on him. Hmm. And so we ended last week's video with a challenge, and I think it's important that we show how that challenge went for us.
Right.
And upon talking to you earlier, it kind of sounds like we both had a different experience with this week's challenge. Hmm. So for me, that challenge looked more of I intentionally was looking for those 10 minutes a day. And it wasn't that I couldn't find 10 minutes a day. It was more of it's not a normal thing.
Right.
And so whenever I did find the 10 minutes a day, I just found myself kind of sitting in silence. Mm-hmm. And the first day that I did it, it was totally weird. And I had to do like 10 one-minute increments. Yep. Here and there throughout the day, just because it was so weird, just not hearing anything, just being still. But I've now gotten it to the point, I'm still not at that 10-minute mark. So if you think that, you know, you have kind of failed at this challenge and you're not going to be able to do it, I failed at the challenge, the regular challenge. But at the same time, I have been able to find those times where I've been able to be still, whether it be for 2 or 3 minutes here and there throughout the day. I'm working for that 10 minutes, but...
Well, I think that's the key thing, is that the challenge of the 10-minute thing is something that you and I have put out there.
Yeah.
But nowhere in Scripture do we read it has to be 10 minutes. What we read in Scripture is just the idea of being still before God.
Yeah.
And so that may be 10 minutes a day. That may be 30 minutes a day. That may be something completely different. You get creative with that. And the main thing is not so much that you're accomplishing the 10 minutes. The main thing
right.
is that you're finding time to be still before God. And you you talked a little about your story. With this. You know, same thing with me. You know, we still live very busy lives. And it is.
Right.
It's difficult to get in that habit, to get in that rhythm, form that rhythm of taking time to be still before God. And so I can't tell you how many times this week I got to the end of the day and realized, you know, I didn't do my 10 minutes.
Mm.
And I'm laying there in bed, I'm getting ready to fall asleep, and I was like, I didn't do my 10 minutes.
Mm.
And, so I never really did get that rhythm built in like we were wanting to, and so that's something that we'll keep looking at. But one thing that I did find encouraging to me and something that I really enjoyed and became a little bit more intentional about this week was noticing those little moments of stillness.
Mm.
There was one time this week I was sitting at a red light, and just then I stopped and realized everything's just, there's nothing that can happen. I can't move. It's a red light. Just nothing I can do about this. And it was a moment of stillness and realized, this is a gift from God. And there was a time for me to stop and just recognize and listen to God for a moment. And there were other times throughout the week where I experienced things like that as well. But I think that's just the key thing is realizing that we need to be still before God
right.
and doing that whenever we can find it. But also, we do need to keep working on building that into a rhythm and not just, for me, it was kind of a, I'm here, recognize that, which is good, but it wasn't as much intentional. And I want to become more intentional about doing it as well.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And so if you're out there and you were trying the challenge, but you kind of failed, you didn't fail. Like Stephen said, you found a time, I'm sure, at 1 minute a day. I'm sure you were able to find a time, so keep at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're all in this together trying to build these rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Stephen and I aren't here to say we have these rhythms down pat.
Not at
like,
all.
We are here listening for these rhythms with you. So this week, we're kind of introducing something new, which you have already introduced in the earlier video, of this concept of the B-I-B-L-E.
Yep.
And it being the book for us. So do you want to go more into what that means?
Yeah, I've been looking at this a little bit this week. And obviously we always push this idea of reading our Bibles.
Mm.
And but what exactly are we doing when we read our Bibles? And what are we trying to accomplish? At the beginning of the year when we made our New Year's resolutions, there were probably many of us who set the resolution of, well, I'm going to read through my Bible this year.
Yeah.
And if we get to the end of the year and all we accomplished was we read through the Bible, but it didn't do anything for us, really, what good was that?
No.
And so we're wanting to look a little bit more as to building the intentionality behind it and building the rhythm behind being with God in His Word.
Hmm.
I'm reminded of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And you'll remember Samuel's parents were unable to have children, and we read of how Hannah was praying to God that she would be able to have a child, and eventually she made this promise to God, basically that if you will give me a son, I will give him back to you.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1 Samuel we read of how that takes place, and Samuel was that son, he was given back to God. And there was one evening where he's in the temple and he's working with the priest Eli. And Eli is in one part, and he's laying down, he's resting. Samuel's in another part, and he's laying down, he's resting. And Samuel begins to hear somebody call out for him, saying, Samuel, Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
And he runs into Eli, he's thinking it's Eli calling for him. And Eli says, I didn't call for you. Just go back and lay down. And this happens again, and it happens again. It happens a few different times that Samuel keeps hearing somebody call for him. He'll run into Eli, and Eli says, it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Eli realizes that what Samuel is hearing is God calling out to him in the temple. And so he tells him to go back, and if he calls out to him one more time, there was a certain response he wanted him to give him. And so we pick up in 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 10, says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, Speak, for your servant hears." That's how the English Standard Version renders it. The NIV will say something along the lines of, "Speak, for your servant listens." Mm-hmm. And I think that's just such an amazing thing for Samuel to go to God and say, "God, I want you to speak to me because I'm ready to listen. Yeah. I'm ready to hear you." And in the Old Testament, God would speak to his people. He would speak to the prophets, and he'd speak to his people through the prophets. And Samuel was one of those prophets. Today, he speaks to his people through his word, through his written word, through the Bible. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, you know, are we listening? Do we go to God and say, "All right, God, I'm with your word, speak to me, because I'm ready to listen." And I think about all of these passages in the Bible that speak about the importance of the word of God. And you, Samuel said, "Speak for your Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant hears," or "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And that idea of listening, that idea of hearing in the Old Testament had a kind of a richer meaning than what we think of today. You know, we can hear the sound of a train, and that's great, but we don't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. You can hear the sound of birds, but yet we don't do anything about it. But in the Old Testament, in that Hebrew language, when they talked about that idea of hearing, it's that word Shema. And what that the idea that it carried with it was not just hearing, but also responding to it, doing something about it. And so are we listening? Are we not just hearing Scripture, but also responding to Scripture and doing something about it? And, you know, I think about these verses that we read, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, where Jesus is being tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And he responds to Satan by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." He talks about the importance of the word of God and how we hear it, we have it, and we live by it. Mm. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." He talks about the importance of the word, and as it lights our path, we walk by it. It's the word that guides us. Luke 11, verse 28, Jesus said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God," but then he says, "and keep it." Mm. They live by it as well. Romans 10 and verse 17, Paul wrote, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." He's saying that hearing the word of Christ, hearing the words of God, establishes faith in us, and it builds faith, and so our faith grows in that. Mm-hmm. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near." So we see once again that importance of not just hearing it in the sense that we think about it, but also living by it. And responding to it and allowing for it to change who we are and how we live. And I think that that's so important as we think about this idea of, you know, you brought it up last week from 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, where Paul writes about training yourself for godliness, disciplining yourself for godliness. The idea that I'm trying to move from looking like Stephen to looking more and more like God. And what better way to start doing that than by getting into the Word of God and right. hearing the voice of God in that? You know, I think of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, where Paul wrote, "All Scripture is breathed out by God." We are literally experiencing the breath of God
right.
in this Scripture. We see that as we see these words interchangeable as we talk about breath, as we talk about wind, and as we talk about spirit. And we see in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, where he talks about the whole armor of God. And he says, "The sword of the Spirit," which is the word of God. So the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So we're experiencing the breath. We're experiencing the sword. We are experiencing God as we spend time in his word.
Yeah.
And I think that's why it's so important for us to be with God in his word. You know, and I wonder how much do we really understand that this isn't just some history book from long ago that was written once and just, you know, over. Everything's in the past. but rather this is something that is living. This is something that's alive and active. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer said, "For the word of God is living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword." He says that the word of God is living. This is still alive today, and it's still active in our lives. It's the living word. I think it was Donald Whitney said it's the living word of the living God. And sometimes I think we see it more as a history book of some far-off God that's, you know, once was but maybe no longer is. But no, this is the living word of a God that is still very much alive today. And I think as we spend more time experiencing God and growing closer to God through His Word, we begin to see more of God in ourselves and in the way that we're acting. Reminded one more time of one more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, Paul's writing to the church of Thessalonica there. And he says, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." The word of God is at work in us. When we spend time with it and allow for it not to just be something where we are gathering information, but we're approaching it, and as we approach it, we look to God and we say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And we open ourselves up to truly listen to God and to be transformed by the word of God. And in doing so, we begin to look less and less like ourselves and more and more like the living God that we read about in the living word.
That's good. That's really good. And yeah, so, you know, Stephen just talked about the why. The why do we do this? We do it to be transformed. I really like that word. I think of it in Romans 12, 2, where Paul says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." But now, how do we read? So I'm reminded of a passage. Well, it's Psalms 1. You know, the book of Psalms opens up 1:1. "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the ways of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." So I think of that word meditation. You know, we oftentimes think of the funny, like, om, like that type of meditation. But really, meditation is just this idea of taking that stillness that we talked about last week, taking that silence that we're building upon, and being able to just take scripture, whether you read it, whether you hear it, and just take that scripture and just listen to what it's saying to you. And so I have kind of a visual appeal for this. I'm a very visual aid learner. Teens out there, if you're watching, this is a newspaper. I don't know if you know what that is, but a newspaper, you open it up and, you know, it's got all of these headlines and actual bodies of the paragraph. You might know it as, on Instagram, as like the posts and everything with like the links that you can. But so we have different ways of reading things. We grow up, we skim through books. Like if we, you know, I remember reading in a summer like 5 or 6 books because they were all popular. And so you learn how to skim books. Newspaper articles, I'm sure that there's not too many people out there that read every single word and actually think about every single word that's in these newspapers. They probably look at, okay, this says volunteer state. Okay, that doesn't seem too interesting to me. So let's go to a new page. Or if you're like me, I go straight for the comics. The Garfield, the best. So that's how we've learned how to read these newspapers. Well, then you go to school, and if you're in junior high or high school and you're having more tests, or in college and you have these tests and you have textbooks that you have to read and then you have to take tests on, you probably are just skimming it and going to use that information for the test to pass the test and then never use that information again. And so that's that idea of just taking in words and just spitting them out and then being done with them. But then there's the idea of getting a card from somebody or getting a letter from somebody. In the book that we're reading through this series, Ruth, I forget her last name.
Ruth Haley Barton.
She talks about this idea of a love letter. If you get a love letter from somebody, you probably typically would go hide somewhere to read this love letter. Or if you're like me, I actually have a safe, fireproof safe, that I have like birthday cards from growing up. I have letters from my father that he sent me when he was stationed in Iraq. I have all of these like memory, like written, I have handwritten letters from grandparents just in this safe. And I keep that safe.
Right.
I have it in a fireproof safe because of how safe I want to keep it. And whenever you get a card or a letter, you just instantly feel good. And when I was a kid, I remember when I got a card, I did run to a different room. I didn't want anybody else to read it before I got to. And so, because that was mine, that was my letter. That was those words were written for me. And that's kind of what I think about with the Bible. You know, these words were not only written for me, but they were written for us. But in a real sense, when I'm reading the Bible, these words were written for me. And so it's like getting that letter in the mail. It's like getting that love letter from your crush in elementary school. I remember when we were in school, it was always, will you go out with me? Check yes, check no. Like, it's getting that letter and taking those words that you see in that letter. And you probably remember some of them. I was actually just going through all of my old cards the other day. And my old letters and notes, just because sometimes I like to, you know, reread them and feel good again and just remember that. And so why don't we treat the scripture like that? We need to.
And I think you're hitting on an interesting idea, the idea of a textbook versus a letter.
Yeah.
You know, letters are something that we keep and you keep in that safe place because you don't open it up, read it once, and then never come back to it. You come back to it and you read it more and more so that you can kind of experience the person on the other side of that letter. Yeah, I remember in college, I had a class on anatomy, and I didn't do great in that class. But part of that was because I didn't experience the book. I would go through it, I would read to try to find just the answer, and I would try to get just the answer that was expected, you know, on the test for that class. And you ask me, I can't remember a single thing from that class, and part of it was because of the way that I approached reading that textbook. Another part of it was because when that class was over, I sold the book back because I wasn't ever going to revisit that book again.
Yeah.
Because we tend to not want to revisit things like that. But letters, you know, we want to go back and experience again.
Right. And so you take that experience from reading scripture. You know, you experience God through opening the Word and just reading it and putting it on you. And like you said, rereading it. It's not the, all right, I read that scripture, let me highlight it, that I'm never coming back to it. It's you use that scripture. But then the second part of this is the response. So going back to this analogy of the letter, you get a letter in the mail. You know, hey, Jacob, how's it going? Hope you're doing well. You know, COVID-19, oh no. And so what do I do? Do I just stick it in a drawer or stick it in my safe and not return to it? Or do I go, do I get a card or do I get a piece of paper and start responding to the person on the other side? And so I would address it, hey, whoever wrote me this note, you know, this card, thanks for thinking about me. I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well. And so how do we respond to God? Because there is somebody on the other line of these words.
It becomes a conversation.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, I journal a lot. Whether I write in my journal or just doodle in my journal is another thing. But I do like write out notes or I take notes a lot. Maybe it's not necessarily a journal, more of taking notes because that's how my mind works. But, you know, people use prayer, once they are done with their scripture reading, they just instantly need to pray. And some people like to share what they read. You know, I want to share this with somebody. I want to share this with you. And there's other ways of being able to respond to that. But I think there's that experiencing God to grow closer and to respond to him through that.
Yeah, I think that is, that's just so neat to think about God's word being a letter to us and something that he's writing to us in order to let us experience who he is. Mm-hmm. But also, just then when you write a letter to somebody else, generally the idea is you await a response from it as well. And so I think that is a really good idea of responding to God in that written word. Now, I also want to think a little bit about this idea of how these rhythms build upon one another.
Yeah.
And you know, last week we talked about being still and finding silence and solitude. This week we're talking about being in the Word. And I think there is some value in, you know, not just, and I think we tend to do this more when we are trying to read through a set number of scriptures per day.
Right.
Is we immediately open up and the idea is just simply getting our reading
it done
today. But if we aren't approaching it like that, we're approaching it more like a letter. We're approaching it more like God speaking to us. I think there's so much value in experiencing those moments of stillness.
Yeah.
Building in that rhythm and however long that might be, but just allowing yourself to be still before God, recognize that God is God, I'm not, and I'm getting ready to experience him through his word.
Right.
And so experience the stillness and then move into that rhythm of being with him and his word rather than just immediately opening up and getting right into that.
And not only that, but all right, let me ask you, Stephen, when Macy and Avery are running around, is that the best time for you to read?
No, never.
If I'm listening to anything, my mind's wired in the way of I can't have the TV on when I read. I can't even have music on when I read because I don't get the words.
Right.
I have to have complete and total silence and, I mean, stillness. And so, because there's so much going on. And so I do my best reading, you know, just in my room where I don't turn on the TV, or in my living room where I don't turn on my TV or any music. And I just take in the words that I'm reading, whether it be the Bible or whether it be another book. But you've got to shut the chaos down before you can expect to take anything in.
It's hard to hear and really give your attention to anything, any one thing, when there's multiple things going on around you. And so learning how to shut down the outside and realizing that if I'm going to listen to just one thing, the obvious answer is listening to God. And so learning to shut down the rest so that I can listen to God and experience God and grow closer to God and be transformed by God and then respond to him in those moments. So maybe we think a little bit about how we do that this week. And we've been kind of given a challenge to ourselves. And as you've seen, the challenges are difficult for us. And we don't necessarily expect that, you know, this isn't a challenge like, hey, we're doing great with this. We've got this all figured out.
We're challenging you to
try to be like us.
Yeah.
And we're challenging all of us to try to become more and more like God. So maybe we think a little bit about how do we challenge ourselves to be transformed by the living and active Word of God today.
Yeah, and so maybe you have a favorite passage in the Bible. Maybe you have a favorite 6, 8, 10 verses that you go to generally, like, when somebody says, so what's your favorite passage? Mm-hmm. You know, you say, for me, mine is 1 Corinthians 9:24-27. It's four verses.
Right.
But it's still, that is, like, when somebody says, what's your favorite group of scripture? That's what I go to. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is because that's the passage that somebody in Express introduced to me after I was baptized. Mm-hmm. It's just this idea of running a race for this prize, and the prize being heaven. And so I always go to that scripture when I say that, or when somebody asks me what my favorite scripture is. Mm-hmm. But then Also, there might be a scripture that you kind of tend to need more help with, or you kind of skip over. Like, it might be an episode of your favorite show that you just don't want to watch, and so you skip over that episode. Maybe this group of scripture you haven't dived in enough.
Something,
one of those words. But you might not have experienced it enough. There we go, that's a better word. That you can understand it. And so this week, our challenge to you is this. Go to that favorite scripture. Go to that favorite passage, the 6 to 10 verses, and read it. And experience what God is saying to you. Maybe you need to hear that again. Maybe it's been a couple months since you've read that passage, and right now, something completely new in that passage jumps out at you. That's my favorite thing about the Bible, is every time that I reread it, there's something new that it's like, boom. Or there's just one word that I cling on to in one verse that I'm like, I don't know why that word is just attacking me right now, but obviously it's God saying, you need this word. So take those 6 to 10 verses that you absolutely love. Read it today, read it tomorrow, read it Tuesday, and then take the verses that you are kind of more challenged with and do the same with that. And each day, ask yourself a different question for that scripture. That way it doesn't become this, I'm just reading this because Jacob said to, or because Stephen said to, or because I feel like I should. Ask yourself, what should I get out? But then also ask God what he wants you to get out of this.
Yeah, ask yourselves, how, what is God saying to me? But also ask yourselves, all right, now how do I respond to God in this?
So paint a picture, journal, like I said, pray. I mean, share with others. We would love to hear your favorite scriptures. You know mine, so comment below with your favorite scriptures so that we can read it together. You know, that's one huge thing, is sharing with others, because your experience with one block of scripture is completely different than my experience. Stephen and I, we look at scripture completely different.
Right.
Whenever we're preparing for these videos, we have definitely noticed recently that we each take something different, which is great. Because that shows growth through each other and growth closer to God, because he's introducing a different concept that I've never realized. So that's your challenge for this week.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to talk with others about that and get different points of views. I do like this idea of a familiar verse and maybe an unfamiliar verse, familiar passage, unfamiliar passage. And maybe a good way to find that, to look at what you should focus on this week, is if you're anything like me, you underline in your Bible, you highlight in your Bible, you've already marked those passages that you love and that you want to remember and you want to come back to. So open up your Bible, find one of those passages that you've highlighted, and use those 6 to 8 verses and use that to focus your time with God this week. But then also go into your Bible and find a passage, 6 to 8 verses, where you haven't underlined.
Yeah.
And choose one of those passages and say, all right, there's a reason I haven't underlined this, because nothing really stuck out to me about it. Spend some time in that one and try to figure out, all right, what's the message of God to me in this? Because I do think this is such an incredible concept that this isn't a textbook, but it's a living and active word from God.
Yeah.
And it's still living, it's still active today in my life, just as it was to the original recipients of these words. So that's your challenge. Spend some time together with each other and with God in his word. And do send us a message in the comments below. Just at least let us know what verses you're reading so that we can maybe be challenged by those same passages as well.
Yeah, and next week we'll share our experience through our time in those scriptures with you.
Yep, absolutely.
So, well, Stephen, I think that does it for scripture.
Yep.
Not that does it, but hopefully we can keep focused in this world of distractions.
Yep.
I think it's going to be real interesting in these coming weeks, the distractions, because people are opening up again.
Mm-hmm.
Places are opening up, and so I think we're going to be distracted. So we really need to find these rhythms, find that stillness and focus. So We're glad that you've been here with us. Stephen, would you like to pray us out?
Yeah, let's close with a prayer, but actually we're not really closing with a prayer. We are going to have one more song after this, so stick around and join us for that time of worship still. Mm-hmm. But let's close this time together with prayer. Holy Father, we come to you and we know that you are God. We know that you are God and we are not. And so, Father, as we come to you and we use this time as a way to springboard into time in your word, our prayer now is just simply to speak to us and know that your servant is listening. Help us to be still and to be open to who you are. Help us to experience and to grow closer to you in new and exciting ways. Show us what you would have us to do to respond to that, Father. And Father, as we live every moment of our lives for you, help each step to draw us one step closer to looking like you and less like me. Father, we love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There is love that came for us, humble to a sinner's cross. You broke my shame and sinfulness. You rose again, victorious. Faithfulness none can deny. Through the storm and through the fire, there is truth that sets me free. Jesus Christ, who lives in me. You are stronger, you are stronger. Sin is broken, you have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all. No beginning and no end. You're my hope and my defense. You came to see and save the lost. You paid it all upon the cross. You are strong.